We're now bringing to these microphones David James. He's been traveling all over the world. He's returned home. We're glad to have him back safely. And in fact, we want to be able to continue the conversations that we have weekly with David as we talk about issues that the body of Christ really needs to have a better biblical understanding of so they can make some right decisions for their own lives. And I'm a part of that. I love to have the conversations with David because it edifies me as well, and I hope and pray it's doing that for you. David, the other day you told me about an ongoing email discussion with a member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church about Christians needing to worship God on the Sabbath. After almost 2,000 years, David, you would think that this would be a long-settled issue, but it obviously is not.
No, you're exactly right, Jimmy, and I see these pop up frequently. In fact, more and more often, I see it coming up on websites. I see even well-known websites like WND promoting books about this, with the Hebrew Roots Movement trying to move Christians back to more of a Judaistic style of worship. There is more and more focus on this. I found a page with 500 churches and denominations that are called Sabbath Day Churches. And so this is even more of a thing than I realized. And some people don't even realize this, but the potential presidential candidate, Ben Carson, he is also a Seventh-day Adventist. And so these issues are going to become more to the fore, even in the public eye, very, very soon.
Yes, indeed, that is the case. Can you quickly summarize a few of the main arguments that those people use for Christians needing to worship on the Sabbath, which of course would be from sundown on Friday through sundown on Saturday?
Yes, there are several. One would be that it was given as one of the Ten Commandments, and they would say, how is it that you can take out one of nine of the Ten Commandments? They'll say things like Jesus and the apostles observed the Sabbath, and so we are to be disciples and followers of those. Some go so far as even to say that the Sunday worshipers are actually a part of the mark of the beast. So there are lots of different, both biblical and unbiblical things that are attempted to be used that are arguing for ongoing worship on the Sabbath day.
Well, David, as always, let's examine their overall arguments biblically. If this has always been God's design for the Sabbath being God's required day of worship, this should then go back to the very beginning of Genesis in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve.
Well, you're exactly right. And it's interesting, we do read that God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days and that he rested on the Sabbath, on the seventh day, but he does not use the word for Sabbath, neither does he introduce that idea to Adam and Eve. He does give them instructions for things that they are to do. They are to have dominion. They are free to eat of the fruit of the garden. The one negative thing they are not to do is eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But it's never established as part of their daily life or ongoing life in their worship with him. And then you go on for actually hundreds of years. You have Enoch, you have Methuselah, you have Noah, even Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Melchizedek. In reference to all these men of God, the word Sabbath is never used and is never said to be a part of their system of worship and part of the way that they relate to God.
So, David, then remind all of us, if you will, when does the word Sabbath first appear in the Scripture, and why, and most importantly, what was its significance throughout the Old Testament?
Well, actually, the fact that it occurs so late is almost a surprise in and of itself. The first time that we find the word Sabbath is in Exodus chapter 16, verse 23. So the phrase that we first see it in is, tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today. Now, that bake that it's referring to is manna. Now, this is just after God has brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. They're in the wilderness just prior to the giving of the law. and he's preparing them for taking them into the promised land. So during this short period of time until they enter the promised land, he is going to feed them in this place where it's just there's no food, and so he's going to provide the food. So the interesting thing is that he provides this manna, this bread from heaven, appears every morning, and on the sixth day of the week, he gives twice as much as would normally be needed in order to give them an opportunity to rest and not gather food on the Sabbath day. So in other words, it's setting up a picture, but God often does this. He does things with pictures and illustrations. The Sabbath is a picture of the rest and the provision that God will give for his people if they will simply trust in him. So on this Sabbath day, this day of rest, they won't have to go out and gather their food. He will have provided it on the sixth day. And we'll talk a little bit later how this points to a much bigger picture, and that is the rest of God that even Joshua couldn't take them into, even though they were going into the promised land.
Boy, that was great insight. As some say, David, since Jesus and his apostles observed the Sabbath as Christians, we are to be followers of Jesus. And what about the argument that we still observe the other nine commandments?
Well, several things need to be taken into account. The fact is, Jesus broke the Sabbath, if you want to look at it that way. In fact, he was taken to task for the fact that he was hungry. Him and his disciples were hungry, and as they were passing through a field of grain, they actually gathered and ate on the Sabbath day because they were hungry. Now, what was happening was Jesus made it very clear that God did not make man for the Sabbath, but he made the Sabbath for man. And so it was pointing to a way that God would provide for his people. This is different than the other nine commands, which are related to the character of God, who he is. There's only one God. You're not worshiping any other gods. And moral and ethical commands, for example, that you will not murder, that you will not commit adultery, you won't steal. So this command concerning the Sabbath is a unique command among the Ten Commandments, and actually he gave that in Exodus 16 before the Ten Commandments were given, and it was for the purpose of providing for his people.
Now, David, I need you to again remind us how and why did worship switch from the last day of the week under Judaism to the first day of the week in the church?
Well, here's an interesting thing. The word worship and Sabbath are found together only two times in the Old Testament. The Sabbath was primarily a day of rest, not necessarily exclusively a day of worship. We do now worship on the first day of the week, not the seventh day of the week, and the reason that we do that is because, one, Jesus arose from the dead on the first day of the week, and an amazing thing, that on the day of Pentecost, which is the Feast of First Fruits, that's when the Holy Spirit came. So you have two things that God did pointing to the starting of the church that pointed to the significance of the first day of the week as a day of worshiping the risen Savior who is the first fruits, which, if you think about that, even going back to the idea of manna in John chapter 6, Jesus says, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." So by worshiping him on the seventh, we are even beginning to get a taste of that manna from heaven that the Sabbath was pointing to.
What about, David, the fact that, and the argument that they give, that Paul himself was frequently found in the synagogue on the Sabbath day in the book of Acts and endeavoring to try to give the gospel to the Jewish people?
Well, it would be natural that they would be in the synagogues on the Sabbath because that's the day that they gathered on, that Paul was observing that as his day of worship is a completely different issue. He was doing it for the purpose of worship. And one very important thing about that whole issue was this conflict between the Jews and the Gentiles. And the Jewish council in Acts chapter 15, there were lots of issues that were separating Jews and Gentiles. And one of the things that would have solved a lot of problems would have been if the Jerusalem council had said, tell the Gentiles that they are also to observe the Sabbath just like the Jews, and that was not included in what they said. That is one of the most profound things we find in this whole issue.
You know, we've had the privilege, Judy and myself, of living in Israel since 1991. In 91, in May of 91, we established a church there in Jerusalem. Menno Kalischer now pastors that church. I brought him up in the Lord to be able to do that. And we would have our meetings on Saturday, not because we were Sabbath worshipers, but remember, Saturday is the day of rest. Sunday is the first day of the work week for the Jewish people. So in order to be able to get them to come and fellowship with us and give them the gospel, that's what we had to do. Well, let me talk to you about this. What do you believe is the single strongest biblical argument concerning Christians and worshiping on the Sabbath, and especially as it relates to the end times?
Let me just make one comment about you talking about the church worshiping on the Sabbath. We are free to do that. In fact, in Colossians 2:16, Paul says, don't let anyone judge you with regard to these things. Romans 14:5 says, one person esteems one day above another, another every day alike. But the most important biblical issue, I think, goes to Hebrews chapters 3 and 4. And what we find in the book of Hebrews is that the author of Hebrews was talking about the fact that there was a Sabbath rest for the people of God that Joshua was not able to give them. But notice this, in Hebrews 4:3, he says, we who have believed do enter that rest. So the Sabbath was pointing to the ultimate rest that the people of God would have in him. So the fact remains, so it remains then, in fact, in verse 10 he says, for he who has entered his rest as himself also sees from his works as God did from his. So by virtue of being in Christ, believers in Christ, we are actually every day fulfilling God's purpose for the Sabbath, and that is to have rest in the Savior. And so we do fulfill the Sabbath in Christ.
Very interesting thought. It's been about 6,000 years since creation, and that 7,000th year, the millennial kingdom, when we'll be resting with Christ and also married to him and serving with him. A great, great thought as we look to the future on this issue we've been talking about today. David, thank you so very much. I appreciate the opportunity to interact with you again. Very important information you brought to the table. It was very edifying as far as I'm concerned. I hope to those eavesdropping on the conversation. Thank you so much, David. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks so much, Jimmy.